Welcome to the Off Deadline podcast. I'm Matthew Reed, and I had taken a few months off from this podcast over the summer, but I am back with two names that you might recognize. Constantine Maroulis and Deanna DeGarmo were both members of American Idol. Constantine was one of the breakout stars from season 4, and Deanna was runner-up on season 3, and they are currently getting ready for their roles in the production of Jekyll and Hyde at the North Shore Music Theater. I had the chance to sit down with both of them recently, and they talked about not only their time on Idol, but also their work in musical theater in general, and of course the work they're doing getting ready for Jekyll and Hyde. So enjoy this interview with Constantine Maroulis and Deanna DeGarmo. If you guys want to just start by introducing yourselves and the characters that you play in the show.
Deanna DeGarmo, I play Lucy. Lucy Harris.
Constantine Maroulis, Jekyll and Hyde.
Now, I know these are characters that you guys have played before, either touring or on the Broadway revival. What sorts of things do you like most about these characters?
I love Lucy's kind of sugar and spice. I feel like I can relate a lot to that. And I love her heart. It's much more on her sleeve than she even wants to give credit to. And it's just a fun role, and the music is the best. It's incredible to sing.
Well, you sing it so beautifully, too. Such a great part for you.
You as well, sir.
Well, thanks. Parts. Plural, huh?
Right?
What do I love about it? I try to remember, because every time I get going on this, I'm like, what am I doing? This is so hard. Such a hard show.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, that's what we all crave as actors and performers, you know, great challenges. And I think it's been cool to revisit it and discover new things about it this time around. I think, you know, for me, the story begins with Henry, with Dr. Jekyll. I think he's an earnest, you know, great man. I think he wants to save his father, and his father is stricken with, you know, something they just weren't really, they couldn't really treat back then. Schizophrenia, you know, psychopathic, you know, the dementia, the, you know, just totally incoherent, you know, and really dangerous he's become. And I think, you know, he was a great man who taught him well. He maybe even like Emma, his fiance in the show, probably grew up without a mother as well. So he and his father were all they had, and the house, you know, servants, pool, very close to him. But I don't think he's somebody with a lot of friends, you know. And I just sort of, I don't know, I always sort of related to him. My father passed away a few years ago, and he had been sick for a long time during my time doing Jekyll and Hyde, the first time around on tour and on Broadway. So that sort of was always like the crux of the story for me, like, save my father. And I think that's what I always related to, for sure. And getting to sing the high notes. That's
yes!
Fun, too.
Does playing a character multiple times allow you to relate to them more than, say, if it's just a one-off performance?
You get more time with them, that's for sure.
I don't think they ever really leave you.
No, you don't. It's fun to kind of, you know, like, reopen that chapter and play with it again. And you yourself as a human being may be in a different part of your life. So it's interesting to now, I feel like myself, you know, because it's been about a year and a half since I've done the role, to kind of look back now with just a little bit more self-knowledge. And doing it in the round is so fun.
Yeah.
I'm already really digging it. And I just feel like you get so much more of an even better experience because you see the entire world instead of only, you know, the front of it.
Absolutely. It's wonderful. It completely changes. It makes it a totally new experience again. And with Bob Cuccioli directing it, of course, the original Jekyll himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's become a great friend over the years, someone I've always looked up to. And, you know, we all are big fans of his. So it's been really wonderful. And he's such a meticulous actor and performer, and he's brought a lot of that into the room as well as a director. So it's exciting. I love the North Shore. I went to college here in Boston, and I was here last year with the Vita, And it's a great theater, great community.
That was a great show. That was
Thank you.
Wonderful.
We had a great time doing that. Great. Everything's great. No. Sorry.
You're going to make me spew coffee.
It's tremendous. Everyone's tremendous here. Just tremendous people. So we... No, but amazing to be back here. Yeah. Honestly, they take good care of you. And the work is just wonderful, mm-hmm. you know? And I think these audiences are so lucky to get to see this kind of quality, yeah. you know, up here in, you know, the North Shore.
Yeah, I was going to ask, having done this show at different places, how does it differ from production to production? Like, is it the director shapes how it goes, or the location?
A director is very important, yeah. because at the end of the day, everyone is creating their vision. And that's the person leading the helm. Yes, the director is very crucial. And Bob is so close to the story as an actor, which I think is particularly wonderful. Because he's been there. He's been in Constantine's shoes, and he understands how incredibly big this show is and how big this role is.
How common is that for a director to have previously acted in the show? I've never.
Not very. Mm-hmm. No. Is this the?
It's more something that happens like in the dance world or mm-hmm. maybe opera. To me, it's I've never heard of it before.
Never people with the role directing the show.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course, actors have been in the show. Yes, but maybe not directing the exact role.
Or an associate of something mm-hmm. even.
Yeah. It's always been some offshoot.
But to the extent that...
But Bob has created essentially a new show. It's really his sort of edit of this show. He's directed it a few times before. You know, of course, originating it on Broadway, that... went through many changes in itself. So he's pulled out some pages and put some scenes together and added some things back in that actually Diana and I both did very different productions. And there's some stuff that neither of us had ever seen. I was like, wait, what is that? Never saw it.
Yeah. It's a great challenge because you feel like, you know, I came in kind of feeling like I already knew the show and I've experienced that there's still more to learn, which I always love. Like Constantine was saying, the actors always love a good challenge, and it's been fun to find those new things. Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a pretty dark show in a lot of ways. Evita was not necessarily a dark show, but it was certainly a heavy mm-hmm. show, an emotional show. How does the tone of a show change how you approach it, like if, say, you're in a comedy, for example? Like, how does that...
You know, I think as an actor, and as actors, our job is really to approach, for me, at least, personally, I just, you know, I'm playing the scene, I'm finding the character, I'm playing an action, if it's a comedy, whatever it is, you know, we're really just playing the text, you know, serving mm-hmm. the text, doing our job. It really shouldn't change... You know,
agreed.
You know, it just shouldn't be something like,
yeah. I'm doing a comedy now. Yeah. I should talk like this. Yeah. Or yeah. I'm doing dark drama.
We're just playing scenes. Yeah. You know, it's beautiful music. We serve the material.
And try to make these people real.
For sure. Because, you know, let's face it. This, you know, this Robert Louis Stevenson, you know, great story is essentially the genesis of all things superhero and or... You know, Batman, Superman, this sort of idea of, you know, turning into this other character. And it really started with his book, you know. And so the audience comes in, maybe the critics don't, but the audience comes in knowing that, you know, they're going to invest in a gothic, sexy thriller. There's sci-fi elements to it in ways. There's, you know, there are some sort of, in a way, comic book elements to it, you know. Mm-hmm. So our job is to try to really even, like, fight against that and just play as grounded scenes. Because, yes, the guy turns into this monster right before mm-hmm. your eyes. It's not something that happens in your real life and could ever really necessarily happen, right, in reality. So, you know, the more we sort of just play it in a grounded, earnest way, find, you know, the love story, find, you know, save his father, save humanity, save all mankind. it's really that kind of show. And it is romantic, but I think there's something to learn for the audience as well. So it's exciting to be able to tell this again. I thought in a way I was kind of done. I was like, I'm done. I'm not doing it again.
Never say never.
And then Bob, of course, you know, there's this famous like hair flip sort of scene in the confrontation. I was like, Bob, what are we doing about that? So, you know, we've been talking about now in the round, how exposed we are for that, and certain challenges. In my revival, we did a lot of things we pre-recorded. We used multimedia. We had a lot of projections and sort of, it was like a, you know, steampunk kind of goth, I don't know, like Nightmare Before Christmas kind of thing, you know? And here we were like really exposed. We don't have, you know, those, we have some great production elements, but we have different ones, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, just excited for everyone to see what we're doing. That's going to be great.
The audience is so close and can see so much. The attention to detail is tenfold, which is, as an, I'm always an attention, a detail person. So I love the fact that we get the chance to spring off of that and really dive into these little things that are important to me, but were maybe necessarily important to other productions.
And it's nice to just see a true, even though it's Jekyll and Hyde and it's Diana and I, it's quite an ensemble piece,
it
you know,
is.
And
it's
everyone
a large
gets
cast.
Their feature. It's a large cast. Bob has done, you know, an incredible job, just weaving everyone into it. And truly everyone's getting a great feature.
And Kelly,
the orchestrations are fresh.
Yeah.
Kelly's great. She's been here before. So many great shows. She's, starred in them too. And, so it's just a great team. I think Bill, what he's doing up here, and the artistic team here, they're just doing great things, and they're not afraid to. Yes, of course, you know, Mamma Mia and Hairspray are going to sell out, but they're not afraid to throw Jekyll and Hyde in there. That yes, audiences will be flying in from all over the world. There is an insane fan base.
The Jekkies.
The Jekkies. You know?
We gotta love the Jekkies.
Yeah, and like, oh my God. They're awesome. And so they go see every show, every production, and they'll be here. And they're not afraid to tell you what they think. And so, you know, there's a prestige to uphold in doing this job. So, you know, I think we're all hip to that, and we're doing our best and trying to take care of ourselves. It's a lot. And she's doing a lot of belting, a lot of squelching.
Says the man singing all the notes.
Yeah. So. You know, I think I was, you know, I don't know if I've taken them up a step as much as my revival, but we're doing some hard stuff. And, but I think it's just, you know, it's rooted in the emotions of the show, you know, and it makes sense. It's not something that's just, you know, done for flash. And I think that's what's really cool. And Tess is amazing.
That, oh, yes.
You know, their energy together, she and I, as well. And she's actually, I think she grew up in Newton. And she was in Fiddler on the Roof and just wonderful soprano. And their contrast, Diana and her, is just really awesome. It's perfect. So that'll be cool.
You're sweet.
I mean, maybe they'll add some guitars for me and some distortion. No. What's cool is this is like, you're going to get to hear me, I think, different than my revival, a bit more sort of some more legit kind of fun stuff. So, you know, something new. It's definitely different than Che for the audiences that did get to see Evita. And we were nominated for all these, you know, Ernie Awards, which is a, you know, great thing up here and in New England. So, you know, hopefully people will receive this as well as the other shows.
What goes into for you guys picking which shows you're going to do? And, you know, does it a lot have to do with shows that you'd liked previously, or do you look for certain challenges, or
all of the above?
Yeah.
Each instance is different. Since I played this role in Asia, and this was the first kind
you
of
on the world tour,
correct?
Yeah.
Yes, and I.
Who was doing Jekyll on that?
Kyle Dean Massey and Bradley Dean
were
our Jekylls. We had two.
I like Kyle.
and two very different human beings, which was great because it's kind of like we got two different shows in a way. But I have kind of always been more known for comedic, funny roles. And so when I got this opportunity, even though they said it's on the other side of the world, I was like, yes, yes. I don't, and it's Frank Waldhorn music. Yes, I don't care how much you pay. Just let me go. And I kind of thought.
She cares how much they pay, by the way.
I do have bills, like everyone else in the world. But I was so thrilled to do this role. I had always been a huge Linda Etter fan. Ooh, say that 10 times fast. And so I leaped at the challenge and the opportunity, and I thought that was kind of where it would probably stop. And so when North Shore reached out to me, I was thrilled and completely surprised to get this opportunity and to work with my friend for the first time, finally.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm. Oh, first time.
How long have we been friends? And it's now we're really doing a show together.
Because your season is like ending. My season was starting. It was so new for both of us. It was
and
just
then I was in
oldest.
Hairspray when you were in Wedding Singer. So
That's
we
right.
did lots of like press events together in New York.
Jeez,
and
man.
During those early 2000s. And
oh, God, it goes so fast.
and now it's, I mean, we've known each other for 12, 13 years. Yeah. And now we finally get to work together.
Awesome.
It's cool.
I think it's a combination of both things. I think sometimes, you know, we've both had, you know, a lot of success, and sometimes shows are, you know, are vehicles for you specifically, things you're attached to, things that you develop and you come along with. And sometimes there's shows that you got to go fight for and you want to be a part of, and maybe you don't get the gig. So I think, you know, I think that's the beautiful thing about what we do. I think if it was just so easy and like, I can't imagine what, like, those movie stars that are just, like, scripts, bam, boom, and
yeah.
it just, like, offers to do
like?
Everything. Like, what it, I know, really, just, like, what it's like to constantly be wanted. No, but how to even decide, you know, on doing work. So sometimes the work just finds you, and then sometimes, you know, you're a big part of the of why they're doing the show. So I think that's what keeps me interested.
It's always different.
For sure.
You never, I mean, and I think that's why we don't.
Some don't work.
Right? Yes. Yeah,
some are not good.
Sometimes you're like, okay. But it's always different, and it's forever changing, and it's what makes it exciting. And that's why I'm in this line of work. I couldn't sit behind a desk. I could if I had to. But I'm choosing politely not to.
Right.
I like to entertain people and use the gifts I've been given to make people happy and have fun with my life and see the world and hopefully pay my bills in the meantime.
When you get to see the world with the work is pretty great. There's not much better than that.
And we had talked before, you aren't as familiar with the Boston area, but you
I've been in and out of the area several times, but only on very short stints or very quick trips. And so I am thrilled to be here because Halloween is my season. And to be this close to Salem is like,
oh, yes.
Oh, I'm so ready. I came here when I was in the eighth grade on like a weekend with a friend and saw the – you know, a blip of it, but don't really remember much at this point. So I'm excited and hoping to catch a baseball game.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. I mean, I come from a line of a lot of men, and they're all like, are you going? You need to go. And I was like, I know, I'm trying. Hopefully the show schedule works out.
Cool.
And yeah. And it's a beautiful time of year to be here. As the, you know, you see the leaves changing. And Jekyll and Hyde, the feeling of it is perfect for this season. Sure. You know, everyone's ready for this hot to be done.
Yep.
And we're ready to, you know, put our cozies on and get a little spooky and see some great theater.
Well, I can't believe it took me this long, but since you guys brought it up, American Idol, I know you might get sick of talking about it, but
it's all good.
You know, just full disclosure, I mean, 2003, 2004, 2005, that's when my wife and I were in college, and we were huge fans. And then when I walked into the theater and I saw you, I tried not to have a fan moment. But, you know, we were huge fans of the show. How do you guys look back on that time? And
it's a blur, to be honest. I was 16.
She was so young.
Yeah,
I mean, 16.
And
16.
Nobody knew what we were signing up for. I think I can vouch that for practically everyone. Mm-hmm. No one had any idea. They didn't know. Mm-hmm. Idol wasn't even fully aware of what the you know, cultural phenomenon that they had created. And I kind of just jumped on this roller coaster with my mom and like held on for dear life and went through a lot of wonderful things and a lot of crazy things. And it opened up so many doors that I've been able to just keep kicking down for the past 15 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was, particularly then in the early years. I mean, you know, I had just finished Boston Conservatory. My God, 9/11 happened and I was here and, you know, I lost my cousin and I was like, what am I doing? Why am I even studying, you know, music and theater and acting? Like, this is, none of this is relevant to like what's really happening in the world. And then I think shortly after I realized maybe what I'm doing is the only thing that's relevant, and healing and something that can lift up people around me. And, you know, I have such a great connection with Boston here, so many years, well, not so many years living here, but since living here. And for me, it felt like it was like a progression. I mean, clearly, like, I knew who Diana and Fantasia were. I knew who Ruben and Clay were and Kelly and Justin. And then it was us. And then it was like, you know, Carrie Underwood and Constantine and Bo Bice. So it was just, I think, you know, back then I rarely used the internet. I just really didn't.
MySpace was just becoming
just
a thing.
Happening. Yeah. Mm-hmm. MySpace, and I had Hotmail, and I, you know, I had Hotmail for school.
AOL.com.
But I had Hotmail for school, you know, and that was it. I didn't even have, like, I didn't play on the internet. I had shortly before Idol, I had like a website, for my band and, you know, ConstantineMaroulis.com or whatever, right? And I still have that same, thank God, I have that domain from the whole time.
Yes.
And I just think we didn't have DVR, we didn't have TiVo. I knew of it because I was in performing arts, but 24 hours a day we were making theater, and I was putting myself through school. And I, you know, was doing my minor at Berkeley and while going to Boston Conservatory. And, you know, it was just a nuts time in my life. And I think when I came up to Boston originally, I was like, I have a plan. You know, I was a little older. I'm going to get through. I'm going to showcase. I'm going to get an agent. I'm going to book Rent. I'm going to go to Williamstown, be an apprentice. I really, if I've ever accomplished anything, I look back and that much I got done, you know, and I wanted to get all that done. And I did Rent for like a year or two on the road. And then I just needed a job. And Idol, a girl was like, let's go down to DC and audition.
It all starts with a girl.
Damn it. Every time. And then I was like, cool, let's go. I need a job. I wasn't getting renewed on Rent. My band was floundering. Is that a word?
Mm-hmm.
Floundering band. That it was, and just, you know, I was like, cool, let's go. You know, we weren't texting each other, we weren't online, like it just all
seemed kind of real. Yeah, you went to an audition, kind of not knowing.
I just needed an audition.
Where it would go, yeah.
It was an audition. We went down there, and then boom, like, you know, before I knew it, and you know, Diana and Fantasia season before had like really set like the tone in a way. It was like, you know, I mean, it was ridiculous through probably season 5. I mean, there was like 30 million people a night. I mean, you couldn't go anywhere, you know?
Yeah.
So it was overwhelming, but awesome also. Yeah. And I don't envy the younger people that were on the show because, it's like to be so young and to have all that happening to you. I was a little older, you know, by the time I was 30 when I came home from Idol Tour.
Oh, wow.
You know? And like, I know. So, like, I had had, you know, I had had a true decade in the business in a way, you know, and, you know, I just think, yes, it created great opportunities. I met, you know, so many amazing people. I met the producers of Rock of Ages, and we sort of, you know, helped create that whole thing together, you know, and Broadway was always my home. I went to Boston Conservatory and I studied acting, but I think, yes, I might have gotten to a place where I could be like a contemporary leading man of Broadway, you know, and of the stage, but certainly like my long ass Greek name and, you know, my long hair and making, you know, an impact on television like that, certainly was very helpful for me. And, mm-hmm. and I think we can both attest it's great to have been on the show, and it's also not great sometimes to be on the show.
It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah. So I think more now with so much programming and content and other shows out there, you know what? Get me in the room. Let me earn the job, you know, mm-hmm. and then that's the best way. So, but certainly I look back, I thought they had a great season at ABC, and I think we're both big fans of the show. And of course, she's married to an American Idol as well,
who I'm often
confused for.
Oh, right. Yes, vice versa. It's always funny. They're like, your husband comes. I'm like, no,
I loved him in Rock of Ages.
Yes, I loved him in Rock of Ages.
Or they say to me, you were great in Hair. Yeah. I'm like, I wasn't in Hair.
I know. Ace is always like, thank you.
Great.
I'll take it. So he sends many compliments.
You know, the new thing is now Little Sweet. They think I'm Little Sweet, which is just worrying me.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
They're like, you're so funny in the Dr. Pepper commercials. And I was like, that's cool. No, I'm not.
I would like the residual checks.
I would like the check. Anyway.
It's
just beautiful. It's a beautiful show. It still is.
We had such a ball. We had watch parties and, you know, and everything. Yeah. We were so
and it's like an innocence.
It.
Like, we watched it with mm-hmm. our families.
Yep.
And,
yes.
You couldn't just tape it and see it later on Twitter or something like that. Yep. Like, you really
everything
had to run
had to
home
be
and
live.
Watch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was, it was awesome.
And people really connected. Like, I think we're also so lucky to really connect with fans.
Right.
Real fans and people that, I feel very lucky. I actually have a large following here in the Boston area that the Northeast was kind of my hub of sorts. It's the last name. The
that's
Garner.
That's it. We claim her.
I love it, but it's great. And how many people from Idol days are so thrilled that they're like, oh my gosh, you're in our home. Like, you're in our hometown. You're
for
in
sure.
our area.
Absolutely.
We're coming to see your show. And I mean, it's been 15 years.
Yeah.
So
it's, you know, we're lucky. We're lucky, but we're part of, like, honestly, I joke about it when I'm doing like a cabaret show or something. And I'm like, I'm going to take you back to the golden age of television.
Yes.
2005. And, but we were so lucky to be a part of essentially like the biggest television show in television mm-hmm. history.
I it mean, was compared to the Super Bowl.
I mean,
numerically.
Yeah. As
a fan, it was must
good
watch.
Time. It was a great time in all of our lives. And but, you know, again, like, we're in it
for the long haul.
Exactly. We're not here. We were never here to be stars. We wanted like a gig, you know, we wanted to show
and create
what we love.
Things, create art, make the world a more beautiful place. And with my own talents that I, you know, found and continue to do so. The world keeps spinning and we'll keep making it.
That's it.
So just a few more minutes. I always like to end by just doing some rapid fire questions
cool.
to help get to know you
dun,
a little
dun,
bit better. So yeah, we'll start with you, Dana. If you could share the stage with anybody that you haven't, who would it be?
That I haven't?
Living?
You haven't.
Living?
No, not necessarily.
Oh, man. okay. Well, Dolly Parton was the first person that came to mind.
Wow.
I was very lucky to work with her on 9 to 5, but I haven't shared the stage with her. So
I had a big crush on her when I was a kid.
I still do. Are you kidding me? I stammer and stutter every time
I'm sure. I met her briefly, but I mean, to get to work with her, that's really cool. But like, you know, 9 to 5, the movie, I remember coming out.
I had that poster in my house.
What was that, like 1981?
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, 5 years old or something, you know, 6 years old. And, one of the first films to be available on like VHS tape,
mm-hmm.
and when we first got a VCR, and then when we got HBO, which was a big deal, because my parents didn't have a whole lot of money. We grew up in a nice area, but that was a lot, you know. But 9 to 5 was on all the time, also. Yeah, and then later, of course, Steel Magnolias.
Oh, Steel Magnolias. Rhinestone
Cowboy. Sam Shepard was her, like, brooding husband. I was like, that's me.
Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. Like, I mean, I could go on.
For sure. I think for me, I'm such a musical theater geek, but I really grew up with classic rock and roll. And, you know, my parents played Nat King Cole and Sinatra in the house and things like that. And I love old show music. It'd be hard to pick, but I think probably like Sinatra or Nat King Cole or, you know, Sam Cooke, Jim Morrison, Bob Marley, any of those. good stuff.
Huh? Right? I know.
You only picked one.
The list, well, I mean, the list was long in my head. But, yeah, Patsy, you know. Winona. I mean, the list could go on.
That wasn't rapid fire.
No, no, that was...
You might have to...
you answered one and almost two questions that I had coming up, so you got three without me having to ask. You're at karaoke, and you have to sing them. Broadway show song.
Oh, Broadway song.
Broadway song.
Oh.
Oh.
I figured, see, I was trying to narrow it down so you didn't have
so many bangers.
I've actually never sung a Broadway song at a karaoke bar. I always have two go-to karaoke songs that are non-Broadway.
What are they?
Baby Got Back. Okay. I sort of mix a lot. I do know all the words.
Nice.
Or Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because the whole bar ends up singing.
Well, you introduced my wife to Bohemian Rhapsody from Idol.
Well,
I know.
There you go.
I wish I
Somebody had to do it.
Someone had to do it. And no, that was definitely a fun moment for me on American Idol back in the day.
Such a good song.
Definitely been a part of my life, you know, ever since. And I can't wait for the film. It's coming out.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Mm-hmm. Some new trailer stuff online. It looks great. And to get to work with Brian May and the surviving members on Killer Queen was a dream, you know.
I'm just living in jealousy over here.
I think, you know, I try to stay away from the karaoke bar, if I'm there and I'm hanging and, you know, there's some just fun stuff.
You have to do the opposite of what everyone expects. That's like, why Baby Got Back is my go-to, because people are like, I'm sorry. I'm like, yeah baby.
Right. You're totally right. If I went in there and sang like, you know, Stairway to Heaven or something, it'd just be like, or Dream On. No one wants to hear you wail Dream On, dick. You know?
They want to have fun. Yeah, people so maybe like seven drinks in.
What's that one? If I was Superman, you will call me Superman.
It's Kryptonite by
Sure. Something like that, or like Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy.
Yes! I would pay money to see you sing that song.
It's so low that I could never, like, I have to sing it up an octave. You know, it's like so low. Isn't that the one?
Yeah,
I'm a so low.
The chorus gets a little higher.
Yeah, yeah.
Saddle up my horse and I'll ride
well, there's a
to
harmony
the city.
On it. Yeah, that's right.
So if you see Constantine and I around town, maybe we might surprise you.
I can recommend some good karaoke places in the city.
Uh-oh, be careful. Somebody has a birthday coming up.
Oh, boy.
You never know.
That's it.
some Jack Daniels might be involved for
exactly.
that.
So next one, honestly... What's Simon Cowell like?
I think if I had won any favorite, it's because I was like an adult. Like,
yes.
I was like an old, and like, you know, like the producers, I was just like friends with, and we're not in an unfair way, like people like Meghan Markle.
But you were more contemporaries than
for
the
sure,
other contestants.
You know? And then like Simon and I, like, you know, he'd be out having a smoke and we could like bullshit about whatever, you know, girls or something or whatever.
I had a vastly different experience.
Yeah, I mean, she was like, you know, being sheltered.
Oh, I know.
The minors were so sheltered and so protected, I remember. And I don't know. Maybe they learned from your season and then they did that for us. But for sure. But in a way, it also set me up for, like, I thought I had it made because of my relationships. Because 19 was bringing me along pretty well, and then they were like, you know, right before the tour ended, they're like, just, you know, we're not going to be moving forward with you. And I was like, what?
Huh?
And so you know, certainly New Yorker and Survivor, and thank God I had, you know, education, you know, and some experience
damn
to fall
back education.
Well, you know, fall back on for sure. But, you know, again, you just have to. And then before you know it, it's the next season. And then there's a prettier,
longer
guy.
Younger version
of you. Yeah, yep. Like, and yep. I was like, what? And then Daughtry comes along and they know what to do with him. They're like...
Well, they've learned each season. I mean, because even from my season 3 to season 4, they didn't understand that I sang country music. They were, from day one, they were like, no, you can't do that. And I was like, but country crosses over. It's fine. It's not a big deal. And they were like, no, this is a pop show. You got to sing pop music.
Right. So they had the blondes.
And then they've
never been on a plane before.
Yeah. And then they saw Carrie. And then they saw, as soon as I started, I was like, oh, there goes my career. Okay. But, you know, great for her. Simon and I had a very love-hate relationship. Predominantly, we never saw each other off stage. Again, it was a very much like, you cannot be near the judges and no talking, no anything. And
I may be confusing some of my moments with him when I came, because I came back and I did a lot of backstage hosting stuff and all of
and
that.
And you lived
for
in LA. Yeah.
I lived there. So some of those kind of exchanges might be when I wasn't exactly a contestant on it. I should be.
I think he, and he really enjoyed giving me a hard time, and I enjoyed not letting him. Mm-hmm.
But he knows TV.
He does.
He just knows
brilliant.
How to make great television, and that was his thing. So if he dropped a freaking harsh comment on you and made everyone boo, you know, he knew it made for a better show.
Of course.
And in a way, I did too. So I always, and plus I had British teachers at Boston Conservatory that made him look like, cream.
Mary Poppins.
You know, for sure. And like they would look you up and down with like a cold, and they'd make you feel like nothing to build you up and build you and make mm-hmm. you better. Yeah. And I'm grateful for that.
Agreed.
So,
yeah.
Like, he
when I saw him later in life.
Yeah, he has a way of doing
he
that.
He came back and he goes, Diana, you looked lovely and congratulations. And it was actually for his farewell. Hmm. I ran into him for the first time since my days on the show, and it was just so funny. I said, thank you. He was like, what's that for? I said, it was nice to really meet you, because I had met the TV persona, right. Simon, back on the show.
Right, right.
And we both were. Everyone was.
Yeah. I still like to, you know what I like to watch once in a while, because I'm still like addicted to cable. I'm the last man.
I love you.
I have cable. And there's a channel called Axis?
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And they play the UK stuff, the UK shows.
Really?
Whereas, like, our seasons were so big. Remember, like, they were playing them live in Canada and in the
Australia.
UK. Live.
Mm-hmm.
In Australia. Excuse me, I just inhaled some turkey chili. But I like watching him now on his X Factor a little bit. I tape it, and I don't really follow. I don't even know if it's live or not. I think it's live. Or if it sometimes it was a season from a few months ago or whatever, but it's funny to check in with him.
Yeah.
He's still in his chair.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he's a bit older now, and he's a father.
Kids change people.
And it's funny, people still ask about him every day. I mean, it's mm-hmm. just like, they're like, what was Simon really like?
Yeah.
And, you know, we were lucky to have the original judges, the original lineup of the show, and it's iconic, man. No matter what you say,
it was lightning in a bottle.
It's crazy town. Yeah.
Well, my last question. I know we've sort of been over this, but if you could just sort of recap, why should people come to the theater to see Jekyll and Hyde?
No one has seen Jekyll and Hyde like this. I can guarantee it.
For sure.
100%.
It's it's that time of year. You know, it's come. You know, be thrilled. Be frightened, be, you know,
mesmerized
by a love, you know, sexy love and romantic tale, beautiful costumes, you know, full orchestra, probably one of the greatest contemporary composers, mm-hmm. Frank Wildhorn. These songs are timeless, and we're, bringing them back in a whole new way.
My thanks to Constantine Maroulis and Deanna DeGarmo for sitting down and talking to me. If you'd like to learn more about the upcoming production of Jekyll and Hyde at the North Shore Music Theater, you can visit www.nsmt.org. And as always, you can like the Off Deadline podcast by going to Facebook and searching for Off Deadline Podcast. Until next time, I'm Matthew Reed. Have a great day.